lot of things happened there. The church at Corinth was, you read the account, it was a really messed up church. But yet, all the gifts were flowing there, things were getting done. But Paul had to remind them that these things aren't the most important thing. That just because you're seeing these things, there's something else that needs to be done. There's something else. There's a way to do this and a way not to do it. So Paul basically asked the question, and we'll ask it this way, what's love got to do with it? Well, if it's God's love, it has everything to do with it. Everything. Nothing that we do accounts for much unless we do it with the love of God flowing in us and through us. So if you will stand for the reading of the word, it's a pretty familiar scripture. I think I've already given it away. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to the hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the things of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Thank you, Lord.
Every time I officiate a wedding, I read this scripture. Because for anybody who's been married for any length of time or been married before or whatever the case is, you understand how important this kind of love is. It's what I always read out to them because I said, you know, every time a marriage fails, it's because basically there's a breakdown in this kind of love, and so let me read this to you. And so as the couple stands there during the ceremony, I read it very carefully. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs, and I usually stop at this point and say, that's a really important one right there, make sure you remember that. It keeps no record of wrongs, because that's one of the biggest issues, I think, sometimes with marriage. But it goes on to say, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And it's interesting that as we go through that, we normally apply that passage right there to marriage. We apply it to difficult family members, right? We apply it to people we don't really like that well, but we have to deal with. We apply it to all these people we have contact with, whether it be a good relationship, bad relationship. We say, this is the kind of love that we need to have for everyone. But it's generally not always spoken out. To say this love, this passage right here, this kind of love, is the love that you need to have for people you've never met before. This is the love that we have for strangers. And that's kind of a unique idea. It's kind of a use of the scripture that's just not always done because we have a hard time applying it toward people that we've never met before. We generally, when we meet someone, we make a judgment of whether we like them or not, right? You guys look at me like, I would never do such a thing. But isn't that what happens, right? You get around somebody, they say something weird, you're like, I don't know if I like them. You know, I was at a store this week. And I walk in there, And I'm all chipper. It's in the morning. You know what I mean? I'm like ready for my day. Walk in there. I'm like, good morning. And she turns to me and she looks at me with a scowl and she says, what do you want? And I'm like, okay, little rain cloud. All right. You're like totally raining on my parade right now. But I looked at her and she was serious. And I said, breakfast? And she said, right there on the counter, go get it. I said, okay. So I walked over the counter, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, all the things people think about when they have somebody like that, right? You can't sell breakfast like that, you know what I mean? I don't think I'm hungry anymore. I don't know, just stuff like that. But it's something came over me that I have never really felt before, because generally, I'll be really honest, and I think that I'm not too far off of where you guys are. Sometimes when that stuff happens, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to be decent. I'm going to get out the door, right? Is that what you think? Like, I could stand here and get ridiculed and who knows what for a little longer, but I just want to get my breakfast stuff and get out of here, right? But for some reason, I felt like I looked at my watch and I saw that I was really early and I said, you know, we're going to have a conversation because something's going on here. And so I said, so how you doing? Oh, you don't even get me going. She's like, let me tell you the things that really make me mad. I hate law enforcement. You know what I mean? They're always taking advantage of people. They treat their family really good, but then they go and do really bad things to people, you know? And I don't like politics. I don't like politicians. I don't like anything. I don't even understand what this election is about. I said, well, you know, they were voting a representative in the school board thing. I don't know anything about a school board. I don't even care about the schools. I'm too old. I'm like, okay. You know, like at that point, you're not even finding common ground anymore because, like, I don't even have any common ground with this person, right? But she just keeps talking. I think she spent maybe 10 minutes telling me everything she hates about the world. And the bitterness and the resentment was just pouring out of her. And she said, you know, I spent a long time away from here. I know better. And so she tells me about the big city she lived in, and she tells me about the fact that she came back here after all those years. And she told me about all the hurt. And before she really got into that, I tried to gear the conversation toward, like, tell me about yourself, you know? I said, so tell me about that big city. What brought you here? And she's just like, and you know something else I hate? So I'm like, I don't guess she really wants to go there right now. So I let her talk about a couple more things she hated. And then I said, so what brought you here? And it's like everything just stopped for just a second. You know, it's like that whole meanness just stopped. And she's like, well, you know, I left because my family was messed up. I left because my parents were alcoholics. It was a horrible life, you know, and I left out of this place. And so I was like this hillbilly girl in this really big city. So she began to talk about some of the things she went through and all the pain and the hurt and the trouble. Decades of that. And then comes back and, you know, all the things she's gone and the loss of people she loves and everything. And you begin to get a picture of what's going on in her life. So we started talking about her cooking. We started talking about all the things she likes to do. 25 minutes later, from the time I walked in the door, I knew a lot about her life. The whole angry thing went away. And we were talking and I said, so what's your name? And she told me her name. I told her my name. I said, it's really good to meet you. It's good to meet you too. You know, I'm like, are you the same person? You know, and it's like, by the time it was over, I said, I'm going to come back and I'll have some of that home cooking you do. And I shook her hand and said, it's really good to meet you. And I left and she was smiling. And I don't tell you that because I want you to think I did a great job. That's not what was going on. It just became very clear to me. As I walked out the door, I felt like God spoke to me. And he said, you've never loved strangers like this. Now you understand my heart. You have walked out on those people over and over and over, and you were cordial to them, but that's not love. And I'm like, I'm always diplomatic, and I'm always this, and I never say anything bad to people. It's so funny how when it's like we think to ourselves, somebody's really, really mean, but I didn't say anything, and I gave them a bad look. I said, you have a good day, and we leave, and we think we somehow did something, and God said, that's not love. That's like diplomacy, you know, that's decency. But the love that I called you to, and if you look at this particular, like, grade of love, this love here is not the love that we show those people many times. It's a much more scaled-down version. We call being cordial love, And God said, that's not my heart. My heart is actually loving them the way I told you. If love is patient and love is kind, then love has patience for her meanness. Love has patience for her resentment. Love has patience for her hurt. Because as I looked into her eyes, and she looked really mean. I'll be honest. She looked like she wanted to hurt me. As I looked into her eyes, I saw a child who had been abused. I saw someone who had been hurt deeply. I saw someone who had been abandoned. I saw a lot of stuff coming out of her that was just like, when you start viewing people as children of God, and if you start viewing them as that they were children once, and they went through a life just like we did, and you start seeing all that, and you start putting the picture together, you find yourself having compassion for people. You find yourself having a love for people that normally you would have been cordial to, and you just walked out on. You know, I bring the message to you today because, and not just because I had this experience and I just want to share it with you, I thought it was good. I bring it to you today because I think this is not just my deficiency. I think this is a lot of us right here. I think that a lot of us see this stuff. And, you know, I've always just kind of like either gotten out of there or I made a little joke about it because everything's just funny to me. And I know that's probably not real good all the time. But sometimes people are really angry and they're all resentful and everything. And you know, as I walk out the door, I'm like, well, that's one angry little elf. You know what I mean? and that's not love either. I don't know. I think there are so many opportunities, and we don't normally think of these things as opportunities. There are opportunities when people are mean and they're tough and they're nasty and they're difficult. It is hard to stay in the game. It is hard to stay there with them, see them as a child, see the hurt that's coming out, and just spend time with them. Let them talk and spend time with them because they're valuable. You know, so many times we reserve our real love for the people that we know, for the people that we really enjoy being around, and all those people, but we don't reserve that kind of love, that level of love for people that we've never met or we're just walking into right now, like we're just meeting them. Because it's almost like they don't deserve that yet. We don't have any investment in them yet. I'll tell you, God loves us no matter where we are, no matter where we've been, no matter how nasty we are, He loves us. That's the same kind of love that we're to show people, right? But so many times we don't do it because I don't know that person. I'll never see them again. Anybody ever said that before? I'll never see them again. You might. You might. And in Covington, you will. You know what I mean? You will see them again. It's just the way it works, you know? Small town stuff, you know? I wasn't from the big city she was from, but I was from a big city. I never saw anybody I knew ever in 5 years. But here, you run into people all the time. You know, I think I'm going to go see her on Friday, and I'm going to have her cook meatloaf. You know what I mean? She's making meatloaf. I'm ready to eat that. I think it's going to be good. Because everybody loves meatloaf. You know what I mean? But here's the thing. It's like I can't wait to go back. Because I know that when I go back, we're going to be good. You know, I wonder if we think about that, like for the people who are mean and the people that we just meet, the people that we're thinking, I don't like them, are we ever thinking to ourselves, I can't wait to go back and see that person one more time? If we're not saying that, it's because we never loved them on the front end. You know what I mean? Because I think the lady's probably still mean. I think she's probably still mean this morning. But I don't care because we're friends now. She knows my name. You know what I mean? And I know hers. And I think we're going to be okay. And if I go in there and she's really mean, I'm preaching that Sunday, okay? I promise you that. If I go back in there and I do my part, no, I'm just teasing. She's mean. I can't wait to tell you how it goes. Anyway, I don't know. A little dose of bitterness with some meatloaf. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, I've had, and I think a lot of us have had these experiences through life. I work for a construction company in California. We built interstates. We did underground pipelines. We did stuff like that. And I remember I did this job, and it was kind of a combo job where we did some underground pipelines and some interstate over the top, and it was kind of a complex job. And so you know what I did? I was a new estimator, project manager, and I thought to myself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make it easy on the superintendent, okay? I estimated this project. I did all this stuff. And so I went through, and I wrote out all the stuff that I thought he should do, all the crew sizes, how many days I thought it would take, how it would go down starting on Monday and all this stuff. And, you know, I go in there, and I'm so excited because I have this plan, you know what I mean? And I lay this plan on his desk. I said, you know, I worked out some stuff. I tried to do a little homework for you. So I laid it down. Okay, let me just tell you about this guy for a second. Really super rough, one of the roughest guys I've ever met in my entire life. He was an ex-bull rider. Okay, but that's not all of it. He was a bull rider who had his thumb pulled off 3 times. I was like, you got the weakest thumbs on the earth. You know what I mean? Like, I've watched bull riding. They'll pull their thumbs off. Like, you know, what's wrong with your thumb? Anyway, he said the bull rope would get caught around. It pulled it off, and he said, you know what's in a thumb when it pulls off? He said, it's like this really long, like I don't know, like this really weird material that comes out. It's like plastic. And he said, you know, they put it back on there the first time and the second time and the third time. And then by that time, it was all like this. You know what I mean? Because they couldn't get it on straight, you know? So that's the kind of guy I'm talking about. So he took my, and I'm sorry, Marianne, but this is just for purposes of helping people understand. He took a look at the plan, and he's looking at the stuff, and he goes, all right. Yeah, that sounds really good. And he threw that over there, and he put it in the can. And he said, sorry about that. That's so rude. I didn't mean it like that. And that's why I think of your music right there. And so he threw it in the can, and he said, you know what? How about this? You did your job. You got the job. You agreed on a price. And how about I do my job? I certainly don't need you to help me. Don't ever tell me how to do my job. You understand me? I'm like, yeah, I got it. That'll be the last time I go through that that trouble. And so our relationship was always interesting, you know. All the estimators and project managers had offices inside the main office, and me, I had the office in the job trailer next to him. I'm like, who hates me? You know what I mean? But over time, we kept talking, and I don't think he liked me a whole lot. I liked him. He was a cool guy. But every other word was a bad word. It was just really rough. You know, the guy was just really horrible to work with, and he fired people, cussed people. It was just like a normal way of life. But we got to the end of my time there, and I was getting ready to leave, and he knew I was going to be a pastor, and that's what I was leaving for, to come here. And I had this catalog, and in the catalog, there was it was like a catalog from Christian Book, and it had all the commentaries you could buy, and I had one circled that I really wanted. It's like an explanation of the entire Bible, like in 12 volumes or something. And I had it circled, and he walks in, and he goes, you want that? I said, yeah, you know, I said, do you even know what it is? Oh, yeah, it explains the Bible. I know what it is. And he said, you want, he threw the money down. It was like $100-something. He threw the money down. He said, I want you to have it. Go buy yourself that. And this is after, like, you know, I don't know, 3 years of working with this guy. And I mean, I got to tell you what it did to me. It's like we grew together, and he had respect for God. And even though he was a crazy man, and even though he had his thumb ripped off 3 times, and even though he threw my stuff in the trash, it's like I really love the guy, you know. And I think so many times in life, and I'll speak for me and I won't speak for you, but not everybody in my life who treated me that way was the lady at the store and the guy who ripped his thumb off. They weren't those people. We didn't have that experience. Sometimes I just walked out. Sometimes I got mad. Sometimes I gave him a piece of my mind. Anybody ever done that stuff before? Sometimes I said to myself, I don't even have any use for that junk right now. I don't have any patience for that. I mean, I'm just getting real with you. I think we've all been there before. And, you know, I've done all that stuff before. And, you know, it's hard to read this passage and realize God was talking about them. You know, it's so easy to use this passage and use these things where we want to use them. We use them in marriage. We use them in relationships. We use them with all these people we know in all these different scenarios, but we just don't use them for random people. But here's the thing. God says, I want you to love my creation. You know, and it doesn't matter whether I'm a pastor. It doesn't matter how much of the Bible you know. It doesn't matter how cool you are. It doesn't matter how well you pray. If I speak in the tongue of men and angels, but I have not love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. There are Christians today who are nothing but noise to the world around them because they're not willing to love people where they're at. He goes on to say that if I have a gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith to move mountains and I have not love, I am nothing. I mean, I could be the most amazing man of God and not have love for the lady at the store, and I'm nothing. Man, that's a lot to take in. And I don't know that I ever read it that way. It goes on here to say, if I give all I possess to the poor and I surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Man, there is a world of Christians out there, and I'm not saying this in a critical way. I've been there. I've done that. I was one of them. And we all are one of them once in a while. But I was one of those that didn't really get this. I was noise. Like, I was okay with praying with people. Like, there are certain things that we should do as Christians. You see somebody hurting, pray with them. You have something you can say to them that sounds Christian, like, I'm blessed. Well, I planted a seed today. I mean, if we're not careful, our faith will become those things. They'll become those little quips, those little statements that we make. They're going to become things that are superficial. And it wouldn't matter how much I knew. It didn't matter how much I pastored. It didn't matter all the things that I do here at this church. But if I don't have love for the people that I run into day by day, even the strangers, and I'm not saying just any old love, not just being cordial, I'm talking about loving them with patience and kindness, then I'm nothing. That's a hard reality to get. Everywhere we work, everywhere we are in our life, we run across people that we have never met before. We run across people all the time, and there are going to be people that you just personally, personality-wise, they're not your favorite. There are going to be some people you just love being around. But for the people you love being around and the people that are not your favorite, they get the exact same treatment. This kind of love, right? But are we able to swing that? Because it's a dictate of the Bible. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. Paul was very clear when he said this. And it wasn't just like he was talking to a bunch of Christians, dealing with Christians. It's Christians that are absolutely sold out, or that they need to be sold out for God and actually loving people the way they need to be loved. And he said, this is for everyone you come in contact with. You know, as I walked out the store that day, it's like God began to really speak to my heart. This is right now the very beginning of something that I want to see happen in you, but it's not just in you, it's something I want to see happen in my people. Because people need to take time with others. They need to take time to get to know people. They need to take time to listen. I mean, even when you're working at NeHawk over there, it's like you run into people all the time. You know, and I know you do take time to listen. You're a very personable person, and you've always been there like that, but you have opportunities to do that. At the treasurer's office, you have opportunities to do that. It's like for people, no matter where you work, at the dental office, you know, as a teacher, you know, as a guy who sells gases out of a truck, right? Can I say it like that? Okay, you understand. That sounds really weird when I say it like that. But anyway, Arquette, you run across people all the time, and not everybody's nice, and not everybody's wonderful, but everybody deserves the love that God gave you, right? You know, I wonder if we're willing to do that. Are we willing to love like that? You know, I don't know if this kind of hits you where you're at. I don't know if you're thinking about anything. I don't know exactly what's going through your heads tonight. It's getting late. But when you think about this passage, there's a lot of application for it, right? Can you guys think of somebody right now that maybe you just met recently that you're thinking, yeah, I don't want to hang out with them? No hands, please. Okay. You're like, yes, two of them, just this week. You know, those are the ones that I'm talking about. I'll tell you, I am really, really, really looking forward to seeing this lady again. And I'm also, I really wish I could go back and see the superintendent back in California. He's passed away, and I don't know where his future took him. I don't know what happened with him. But I did leave him with a Bible before I left. I got him a cowboy Bible because I think that's what guys who ride bulls read, right? Cowboy Bibles. And it was all leather and stuff. He liked that stuff. But, you know, I'd love to see him again. And I think that we really need to open our hearts to those people that we're just meeting or we haven't met yet, because God's getting ready to do something through you. You know, so many times we talk about how the church can affect the community, how our life can affect other people and we can make an eternal difference. That's how it's done right there. You know, it's not because we're standing up here preaching to lots of people. It's not because we came to a church service and we heard a message. It's because we're willing to actually take what we're hearing and we're taking it out into the community, into real life. Because this right here, tomorrow, you can use this. I know somebody's going to run across somebody that's not really very nice tomorrow. It's pretty much a guarantee, right? Somebody in this place, all right? And when you do that, you'll get a chance to use this for the first time, maybe. Or maybe you've already been doing this. But I can tell you, I have never done what I did the other day. That was a first for me. And I know that sounds really horrible. They're like, you're a pastor. You could have done better than that. Why do we hire you? But I know what I'm talking about. you know, we got to go that far. Are we willing to do that? You guys willing to do it? You with me? Okay, I want you to try this out because you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when you do. There's something that happens to you when you're willing to do this and when you're willing to love people this way. It's almost like you have your Holy Spirit moment where the Holy Spirit comes down and says, now do you understand how I feel? Now do you understand how I feel about them? See, God created them. You know, God loves them. And there's something about, and I've talked about this in the past, is there's something that warms the heart of God when he sees his people loving his people. He made everyone, right? I wonder if we can do that this week. I really pray that God gives you an opportunity. He also gives you a heart toward doing this. And that we'll stay in the game. And when somebody's rude to us, that you don't spin out. Anybody spin out real easy when somebody's rude to you? Okay, don't do that, all right? Hang in there, all right? Hang in there. Because when you hang in there and you say, you know what? I'm going to stay in here and I'm going to get to know this person. I'm going to listen to what's going on in their life and I'm going to get to know them better. And I choose to love them the way Christ says to love them. Watch what happens. And it's not just what happens with them, because that's going to be cool too. But watch what happens in you. Because God wants to break something free in you. So I want to pray for you tonight. If we can just bow our heads for a moment. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you that you've outlined the kind of love that we need to have for each other, that you have laid out a very incredible picture of the way you've loved us. Lord, I pray that you help us to love people this way, and not just our spouses, and not just our kids, not just our family, not difficult people in particular or anybody, that we just, Lord, this applies to everybody. It's not just the ones we have in our life, Lord, but the ones we haven't even met yet. Lord, I pray that we stay in the game and that we don't get offended and we don't get bothered by these things, that we can just begin to look at people the way you look at people and really spend time listening and spend time getting to know them, to value them, to love them the way you love them. Because, Lord, I know that you want to break something in us. You know, it says in here that love's not self-seeking. Lord, I'm sorry that we've been self-seeking in the way that we've loved people, because we love when it feels good to love. We love when it's easy to love. But, Lord, I just pray that we're willing to lay all these things down the way we think we deserve to be treated, the way we think it ought to be, so that we can love the way you've called us to love. Lord, I just thank you and praise you that you stirred this within us. Lord, I pray that as opportunities come our way, as we meet new people this week and even in the weeks to come, that, Lord, no matter what their countenance is, no matter how they are, that, Lord, that we just stay in there and just talk to them and value them and love them and listen to them. Lord, open our eyes so that we can see people the way you see them. And, Lord, help our love be full spectrum, from the people that are the closest to us to the people we've never met. Lord, I pray that you help us to have that kind of love on the full spectrum. Lord, we just love you and praise you and thank you. And thank you for this word tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. If we could have the prayer team come forward. There may be some of you tonight that need prayer for something and you'd like to be prayed for before you leave. I want to make sure that you have someone to come to tonight. So prayer team, if you'd come on up.